Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey there, Outlandercast clan. This episode is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. If you have not yet joined my marvelous VIP group on Facebook, and if you are on Facebook, you know what you need to do is search the hashtag MinuteWithMary. Pause your podcast right now, go to Facebook, search hashtag MinuteWithMary. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz.
Sing me a song, the last that is gone. Say that last behind. There is a soul, she sailed on a day for the sea to sky.
Hello, hello, guys. Droughtlander, it continues. It's long, we know, but we're here to keep you company. And if you don't know me, hi, my name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And I know, like Mary just said, Droughtlander is super long. It's wicked long, man. It ain't gonna end. There's no official release date yet for season 5 of Outlander. But my best guess is going to be, I would say May of 2020. That's my best guess.
Maybe on my birthday.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so nice. I don't even know what day of the week my birthday is on. For those of you who don't know, my birthday is May 5th. Cinco de Mary.
But in the meantime, I've been getting so excited by all the little behind the scenes stuff.
On a Tuesday.
Not going to happen. So consider it maybe May 3rd.
Maybe
May 3rd. I am getting excited by all the little behind the scenes photos, and whoever is doing like the PR for Outlander this year is doing an exceedingly better job than it was the previous year or the year before that. I don't know who is doing it, but thank you. You deserve a raise. And it's not only coming from the official Starz, you know, pages, but it's also coming from the actors as well. Like there's almost like this kind of The moratorium, I guess, was kind of lifted, it feels like. We're getting more and more pictures from Sam Heughan. We're getting more and more stuff from Katrina Balfe. We're getting things from Matt Roberts, or, you know, Meryl Davis also. You know, it's really churning out, and I'm kind of excited by that. And because of that, you know, we wanted to build off of our top five moments that we've been doing over the past couple of months. And today, since we did the top five Jamie moments last month, we are doing the top five Claire moments this month. And Mary,
love it.
How, you know, was this hard for you?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Oh gosh, because Claire's just so good. Yes. I mean, it was difficult in the fact that there were so many good Claire moments. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a lot less of Claire in this season because, of course, Bree and Roger played such a huge role. I mean, we just had less of Jamie and Claire, but dang, she brought it. She brought it. She was solid in this season.
You know, before we get into the rest of the episode, I do have a question for you.
Okay.
And I think it's an important one, which it's this. You mentioned something about Bree and Roger and how there's been more of Bree and Roger. And within the community, you know, when we're in the Outlander Cast Clan gathering or we're at OutlanderCastClan.com, you know, I'm sensing tension from a lot of the people who engage in those communities. And I'm getting tension because I'm not sure if, you know, the show is ready to expose more Bree and Roger and less Jamie and Claire. Like, I'm not sure if the people are ready for it. I'm not sure if the show is ready for it. Are you happy to get more Bree and Roger in, and not sacrifice, but just in lieu of Jamie and Claire?
That is a very good question. The next book, which they are going to try to tackle, is a long book.
Yes.
There's a lot of other things inside this book that I think they can cut out aside from moments with Claire. So I think we're going to be okay. But I, you know, for those who are like Jamie and Claire purists, I don't know. I don't know because I'm not in the show writers' minds. I'm not in their heads. But if I were to be there, I would be making sure that the moments that we do have with our most beloved couple mm-hmm. are fireworks and stellar and true to who they are as characters and where they are in their lives mm-hmm. right now. I mean, nothing is sunshine and moonbeams right now, honey. Okay? We got a revolution brewing. We've got babies. The babies that just keep on crying and causing difficulties in life. And we've got a lot of Scottish people coming on in that you're going to be, you got some stuff going on, okay? I think that Jamie and Claire, one of the reasons that I love this couple is they are a beautiful couple that we get to see grow together throughout time. Not ba-dum-bum-ting, you know, not like throughout time. I'm not saying, you know, time traveling. I'm saying that we get to see them grow and go through the seasons of life together.
Yep.
And I really am in awe of a great deal of their relationship. I mean, I know they're fiction, but let's be real. We all just want to be a fly.
Well, no, I think it's always important to take, you know, kind of cues and take inspiration from fictional characters and fictional relationships.
I think, you know, I think so many people fell in love with the series as TV viewers, and they fell in love specifically with like season one, which we had Scotland and we had young, like, sex-thirsty Claire and Jamie without many cares in the world aside from, you know, the fact that they might die, to now tons of other things on sure. their plates. So there's a whole big world, the whole new world, shining, shimmering, splendid. And I hope that people can open up their hearts to loving on this whole family.
You know, because I am suddenly finding myself in the camp of I fell in love with Outlander because of Jamie and Claire. And I, and as much as, you know, Roger and Bree are nice little characters,
they're
I
not
there.
Little though. That's the thing is that, they're well, not little characters.
And that's what I'm saying. I consider them nice little characters. I ain't there for Roger and Bree. I'm there for my girl Claire and I'm there for my boy Jamie.
You're going to have a lot of them, don't worry.
Oh, no, I'm sure that I am. But I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things that I think the show runners, you know, Matt Roberts and Tony Graffia and even Meryl Davis and even the writers that they're bringing in for the new season, they got to make a choice here. Like, because they kind of tread that line a little bit in season four. And I think they have to make a choice. I don't think they can do the same thing that they did in season four. Because I think season four, people were really expecting to get more Jamie and Claire, and they got a lot of Roger and Bree. And for me, the response was kind of tepid for the Roger and Bree stuff. And I personally, I'm in the camp of the Jamie and Claire purists. I'm suddenly finding myself, and I kind of just want more of them. But whatever, I think it's another conversation for another day. But it's something interesting, I think, that we should all be discussing maybe in later episodes. But before we get into the actual purpose of this episode, which is the top five Claire moments of season four, I do want to remind you that you can find Mary and I on social media at Mary and Blake on Twitter and on Facebook. You can even check us out on OutlanderCast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you want to check out all of our podcasts and all of our blogs that we have, including the brand new Rise Up podcast, one that's dedicated to Hamilton, you can do so. And you can also check out This Is Us Too, which is dedicated to This Is Us. The North Remembers, which is dedicated to Game of Thrones. We're even covering The Handmaid's Tale over there. We got a whole ton of stuff going on over at maryandblake.com. So just check it all out there. Again, once again, maryandblake.com. Marvin, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Top five Claire moments?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Well, let's start that over. Kick things off for us, Blake.
Atta girl. Classy
whoa,
broad.
Whoa.
Classy broad. All right. The top five moments for Claire Fraser in season four. I guess apparently I'm starting it off, even though within the notes it's you're the one who's supposed to start it.
Sorry.
No, you don't. Okay. Number five for me. That moment when she's talking with Lord John, and oh man, that where they're in the cabin and she's all business with him. She's like, I'm gonna lay down the law here. Yep. You're gonna know who's in charge. You're gonna know who the woman is and who Jamie really cares about and who really holds the key to his heart. I thought that was just great. And then, but not only that, the fact that she kind of has to go alpha dog on Lord John, mm-hmm. but more importantly, sets that all aside to take care of Lord John and passive aggressively go alpha dog on him. I think that's great. And when he is trying to tell her that, you know, he's just, I wish I could have done this and I could have had him and yada yada. And even Claire kind of relating to that with her relationship with Frank and how all that went down and how she can kind of see where he's coming from. That moment for Claire in season four was an honest moment. It was a good character, honest moment where not only did it enlighten the relationship between Jamie and Claire, and it shows you how steadfast they are in their love of each other, but really it enlightens the relationship between Claire and Lord John. All the cards are on the table now. All that's it. That is the end.
The boy is mine.
So that's my number five. What do you got?
Claire in her interactions with Marcelle.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, for so much of Claire's life now in the past has been without Bree. I mean, Bree doesn't show up till midway through the season, right?
Yep.
So I loved seeing these interactions. You know, we got to see bratty Marcelle in season three. And, of course, we were able to understand a lot of her frustration against Claire. And how Claire then treated her as well, treated Marcelle. But now Marcelle's a mother. Marcelle's a grown woman. She's integral in this family that they've now created here in the new world. And these moments that you get to see with Claire and, you know, talking about family of her own and being a grandmother figure to Jermaine and helping Marcelle. There were just these very tender moments where all you did is you wanted to substitute or have, you know, you wanted Bree there then. You mm-hmm. wanted Bree to be able to have those moments. And you could tell that that's what Claire was thinking, is I'm not going to be able to have these moments with my daughter. Little did she know.
Right.
But, you know, and she was just so tender to see this amazing dichotomy of these two women, very different ages, but who love their men fiercely, who are going to do whatever it takes. I just think it was very nice because Claire doesn't have a lot of close friends. Mm-hmm. And she especially doesn't have any close girlfriends, really. I mean, they all die pretty much. So it's just nice to be able to see her have another feminine friend mm-hmm. and to see that side of Claire, but also this matronly kind of side of Claire that we don't get to see a lot.
I mean, Claire beheaded one of her good friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
just straight up cut her head off, you know, spoiler alert. Oh, Galus.
It's not a spoiler.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, whatever. Number four. What
number
do you got?
Number four.
Yeah, you do it.
Claire in the storm with Ottertooth. I mean, Claire is just like, ah, hell no. I am not getting stuck in this storm. I'm going to find me some shelter. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And then she doesn't pee her pants when she sees a ghost. Okay? I mean, I just love, granted, she probably did. I mean, they didn't really show us that part. But Claire, like, this is a strong war woman, you know what I mean, who has gone through so much, who, sure. You know, has lived in the Highlands and gone on.
traveled through time.
Multiple times. War, like, so many great things. And here she is, completely lost, dealing with crazy elements, and yet she knows how to seek out shelter, and she is able to somewhat keep her cool when crazy stuff happens. Well done, Claire. Because for me, I think I would literally just have cried. I would have been like, I know what I would have been like.
What would you
have
done?
I would have been like Bella in the second movie of Twilight. Okay, what is that? New Moon?
It is New Moon.
Yeah.
It
you know when moon. Edward breaks up with her and she just lays in the forest.
Say it out loud.
She lays in the forest in the fetal position and cries.
Edward. Edward.
That would have been me. I would have been like, it's raining. I don't know where I'm going and I'm hurt.
You would have sat in that chair and the camera would have spun around you.
I'm tired. I'm hungry. I just want a chicken pot pie. Like, that would have been me. And Blake knows that I don't do well in rough elements.
Here, quick aside for you. So Mary was reading the books. She was reading the Twilight books. And there was one day I came home from work and we were in our old apartment.
We were dating.
We were dating.
And we were newly dating.
And well, we were newly dating.
Like for me to do this on you,
yeah.
This was a little outlandish.
This was a little aggressive.
This is when Blake was like, you're a nerd and you take books seriously.
So I come home from work and she's sitting on the bed in the fetal position, much like Bella. And she's saying, don't ever leave me. Are you going to leave me? Are you going to leave me?
Are you just going to like one day leave me?
And I was like, what are you talking about? She's just sobbing in our bed. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, I hadn't read the books yet. And she's like, Edward leaves Bella. Just sobbing. And I was like, why? Why would you compare me to a shiny vampire? I'm never going to leave you. You're the most important thing to me in my life. What are you doing? And yeah, so Mary took that very seriously. That's why I feel like Mary would probably, yes.
And that's why I look at Claire and I'm like, way to go. Way to freaking go, lady. Like, you've got this. Way to go.
All right, number four for me is Claire meeting George Washington.
Here comes the general.
Oh, yes. That is absolutely, you know what?
Here comes the general. George Washington.
You're welcome. I cannot wait to bring that out over the next couple of seasons. I'm so excited about it. So Claire meeting George Washington was a great self-aware moment, I think, for us as viewers and the writers. You know, I think they were in on the joke a little bit here with it.
Yeah.
They understood that it's, you know, George Washington is this pretty fantastical myth and legend.
It's not a myth.
Well, I mean, the idea of George Washington is a myth.
No, it's not.
You know, it is. He
really existed, Blake.
No, I know. But again, it's the idea of George Washington. He's
the grandeur.
He's the guy who's the father of our country. He, you know, beat the world's largest navy and army and brought an empire to its knees. And this ragtag traitor who was no better than a lieutenant colonel in the British Army, was a failure, lost every battle until his 40s. Like, but for us as Americans, he's turned into a godlike figure. He's the guy in the dollar bill. He's George friggin' Washington. And Claire is well aware of that mythos. She is well aware of his standing, yes, not only within American history, but world history. I mean, really,
it's a big deal.
Washington's a big friggin' deal. And for her to be self-aware of that moment and to look at him before he's just a nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, before he's somebody and he's just a nobody. He's just a jag, you know, within the world at this moment. For her to be like, oh my God, that's George Washington.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, what? It was an honest moment.
It was
moment.
All of us. We were all sitting there being like, no way.
Yeah, right?
Because it's like, not something that happens in the books, too. So we're all of us, show watchers, solo show watchers, or people who show watch and read the books, we're all like, what is going on? This is so cool.
And if you wanted to argue with me about the fact that, like, okay, she meets George Washington, really? Like, she just happens to be in the same theater as him at this given time. Like, okay, you know, but what I'll also say to you is, stats are for nerds. Okay, like I you do that on your own time, because it was a good, honest moment for a character that runs into someone who's extremely important to this time period, to American history, and it also has this a commentary on someone who's from England and noticing George mm-hmm. Washington and saying, "Wow, this like she's well aware of that kind of history." So, I really appreciated it, and for Jamie to look at George Washington like, yeah, okay, who's this guy? And for her to like have like a geek out moment,
yeah,
to Jamie about Washington, explain to him what's going to happen. Like, you wish you could go back. And, like, I wish I could go back and go to those people at, like, USC and say, that's like Steve Jobs. Like, you have no idea who Steve Jobs is right now. And yes, he walks around with no shoes and you think he's just this scruffy looking dude, but he's going to change the world. Mm. And I wish I could go back and be like, that's him. And you're just wasting your time. And she has this moment with Jamie. And I find that fascinating. So that is my number four moment. Number three, what do you got, Marvin?
You ready for this? I mean, I know you're ready for it.
I'm always ready for it.
Like, this is a no-brainer. Reuniting with Murtaugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, nothing can quite beat Jamie reuniting with Murtaugh. I mean, that's his godfather. This is, like, pretty much the father figure, best friend, like, the best friend we all have wanted to have. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Claire and Murtaugh went on this amazing journey together. He also knows her truth. So to see someone who you was dead, who was a dear friend of you, but also who you can be like, oh my God, you know I've traveled through time. Like, what an amazing deal. So I just feel like this was a beautiful moment. You know, of course, this season was so much about the family coming together, reunions. And of course, this aspect was different than the books. So for me as a book reader who is a Murtaugh fan, like I am a Murtaugh fan. I am on the hashtag Save Murtaugh campaign. I know that it is a controversial situation.
Yes.
But as someone who is on this side of the fence, who loves me some Murtaugh, I don't even know what's going to happen, but I am ready for this ride. If Duncan LaCroix is here, I am down, okay? And so is Claire. And I just think that her joy and how that was portrayed was the joy that so many of us felt in our own hearts.
You know, we talked about a couple of different changes here, one being the Washington one, and now obviously the one with Murtaugh. And the question I have for you, Mary, before I get into my number three is, are you a fan of the changes that they made? Like, I know we just said that you were a fan of those changes, but in terms of the other changes as a book reader and as someone who enjoys the show for what it is, do you think that they helped broaden the scope for Claire?
Listen, there is one thing that could have broadened Claire's scope that they did not include.
What's that?
One of the most sexy scenes of Outlander novels, period. Okay?
Okay.
There was some hot river sex, okay, that was supposed to take place on a rock in the moonlight, and I didn't get it. Didn't get it. And yes, I appreciate tubby time, okay? But once I heard those grunts on repeat, I can't unhear it, guys. I can't. And then it plays again. I can't unhear it. And I have to like watch that scene and just ignore the grunts because it's such a beautiful scene. And yet I sit there and I say, where's my rock sex?
All right, all right, all right.
So aside from missing out on one of my favorite sexual moments of the Outlander series. Seriously. Okay. They have a lot of sex, guys. This is what I was really looking forward to.
River sex. River rock sex.
No, Blake, when you read it, you're going to be like, I get it.
Okay, all right. I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Just some cool air. Out in the breeze, man. Yeah. Oh, sign me up. Sign me up.
It's primal.
It is.
Under the stars.
And Diana does a very good job of writing it. And maybe that was the problem. They said, we can't touch this, okay? It's like MC Hammer. So...
Can't touch this.
But aside from that, I am okay with a great deal of these changes that have been made so far. So
you're owning it.
The show is the show and it will be the show. Okay. They royally messed up Roger. Okay. And they're going to have to fix it. And maybe that's why Droughtlanders take it so long. Cause they're like, how do we make you so likable that everyone's going to love you?
Well, let me reframe the question a little bit.
Okay. Cause I don't really know if I'm helping this.
Well, let's reframe the question because we know in here at Outlander Cast, you know, as listeners, we you know, proliferate the idea that the show is the show and the book is the book, and they have to be analyzed independently. They are independent of each other. I think the show should take inspiration from the book and use it to the best of its ability, but it shouldn't be solely, it shouldn't solely adhere to the book. Having said that, then, with the show and the logic that the show has presented to you about Claire and about Jamie, the changes that they have made, do you think that the show has broadened the character within the show, and it makes sense for the show, like the way that they've done it?
I'm very confused. Let's move on.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Okay.
So
I enjoyed the reuniting with Mota. Period.
Okay, I didn't even know where we were. That conversation went down a path.
I got you, boo.
All right, number three. My number three is the conversation with Bree when she was saying how all she wants is just, she misses cheeseburgers, a big, fat, juicy cheeseburger.
Who went out and got a cheeseburger that night? Probably everybody.
I know, right?
They were like, well, guess what I can get?
Guess what we're going to do?
I can go anywhere. I can make my own cheeseburger. I can go to a nice restaurant and get a cheeseburger, or I can go to Wendy's.
Here's a question. Wendy's or Five Guys?
Wendy's.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of with you on that.
You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because I can go in my jammies. I don't have to get out of my car.
You know what I still have not had, and we actually just got a new one right across the street from our house?
What?
Is a Sonic. I've never been to Sonic.
Oh, okay.
And like Sonic is a new thing to New England. Like we've been seeing commercials for it for like ages.
Growing up, it was the worst, guys. When you would watch Saturday morning cartoons, and it was like, Sonic, Sonic, and you're like, what is this?
I don't know Sonic.
What is this wizardry? What do you mean you just drive and people...
You're a wizard, Harry.
Like, what Seriously? Are you talking about, Sonic? You just drive right up and they bring food to your window? So I'm looking forward to trying the Sonic burger because they say that it's America's best drive-in.
Really?
And yeah, well, and like I refuse to believe that until I experience it myself. Perhaps maybe tomorrow we will go to Sonic. I don't know. Anyway, the cheeseburger conversation with Bree, and we're following a theme here for Claire, and that is, it's another honest moment. It's one of those moments where if you found yourself back in time and with your daughter, with someone who knew your time, you would absolutely be having those conversations. You would, like, if we were to go back in time right now, just both you and I, Mary.
Yeah.
And I were to say, like, I miss, like, just having information at my fingertips. Like, I just miss the idea that I could go to Google and say, you know, who won the 1972 basketball Olympics? Like, that information would be there, and I would be able to have that. Like, I would miss that. And having that honest moment between the two where she says, where she says cheeseburgers and Bree says she misses Led Zeppelin. A really good, honest moment. Here's a question for you. What would you miss about our time right now? What would be the thing that would, like, you'd be like, oh man, I need to have that?
Instant access to music.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. I thought you were going to say coffee.
No. Because they had coffee back then.
Yeah, but no, like instant coffee. Like,
no.
I don't mean
it's
like
not
instant coffee.
It's cold brew, Blake.
No, I mean like you could go to Dunkin' and just go grab a cup of coffee.
I do enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
But I would not be able to survive without my music. And I can totally switch out coffee for tea, and they had tea then too.
Ugh.
What? You love tea.
I do love tea.
I love how you're like scowling and you're not even a coffee person.
I think I would miss Netflix too. Or streaming movies. I think I would miss that greatly. And I would, you know what? No.
Okay, can you like say something a little bit more poignant? And
AC.
AC. Down with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You would miss AC.
Oh, guys.
I can't live without my
AC.
Listen,
you think that I would be like Bella in a rainstorm? You have not seen me in the heat. Okay, I cannot move further south than New England.
No.
I have told some people, where was I? I was just performing on the 4th of July. Everyone else in my band, the American Band, it's a real thing, guys. Go to theamericanband.org. It's the wind ensemble that I play in. It is the second most longstanding wind ensemble in America. Mm-hmm. We're kind of a big deal. Okay, so we're playing in the 4th of July celebration. It's hot. It's humid. It's sticky. Everyone's like, yeah, it's a little hot. I have two fans. Okay. I've got a fan that sticks into my iPhone. It's really, really nice and strongly powered. And then I've got another fan that a friend let me borrow from Toy Story 4 at Disney that sprays water. I've got both of them going on me. All I'm doing is whining. Literally. To like grown up people. I'm like, God, it's so hot. I can't stand this. I need to move to Canada, but then I can't play in 4th of July celebrations. Oh my gosh.
Make it end.
Make it end. Yeah, we like went into this hotel so I could change because I was so sweaty. And my friends were like, are you all right?
It's miserable.
I was not okay. So I would agree with you, AC.
Yeah, I told you. But yes, good, honest moment from Claire talking about how she misses cheeseburgers.
Claire's so much classier than me.
Way classier than you. Way, totally classier.
Thanks, Blake.
All right. All right. Number two.
Great timing for that bell, Blake.
What do you got for your number two?
Cabin Claire. Okay.
Okay.
Stuff I can get down with. All right. First and foremost, sign me up for some of that cold living because girlfriend's knitting. Yeah.
You are such a dork.
Okay, let me tell you, this is not the real summertime in North Carolina. Once again, North Carolina is more south than Rhode Island. These peeps are supposedly hanging out in North Carolina in the summer. Why is Claire knitting up a storm and wearing cowls? I don't even care. Sign me up for Cabin Claire, feeding Clarence, chilling on out. That's what I want. I want Claire all day. I want to be her biffle in some cool temps that don't actually exist.
Well, it's North Carolina. They get cool temps.
Okay, when? November.
In the winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
This episode, this season, this whole season did not all take place in November.
Stats of the nerds. Come on.
But let's be real. Claire's like, I'm living here with Jamie. Ian's gone. Bye, Ian.
Bye, Ian.
I'm just going to walk naked. So hopefully there'll be a river somewhere that I can have sex nearby.
I gotta fulfill Mary's wish.
That's what I loved. I loved Cabin Claire. I loved with all of her dry herbs. I just loved the simple little house in the prairie time with Claire. Those are my happy moments in this season.
Is there anything more freeing in this world than just walking around your house naked?
I don't do that.
You don't do it at all?
Blake, do you know how old our kids are?
Well, I mean, prior to having kids, or if your kids are out, you've never done that. You've never just walked around your apartment or your house naked. Really?
No.
Man, it's freeing.
I've always had like a person here. I've always had roommates.
No one's ever left the house and you just said, screw it, I'm taking a walk.
You know, I just don't really like
being out there.
Yeah. You know, I would much prefer a little shift. Uh-huh. Just a little something. You know what happens when I'm naked?
What's that?
People knock on my door. No joke. Happened yesterday, right? When that woman came to drop off a coat.
That's true.
I was walking around, pulling down my britches, trying to go to the bathroom, and someone knocked on my door. And I just looked at Blake and I said, this ain't happening.
You got this. Oh, all right. My number two.
Oh, TMI people.
Now that we're a classy podcast here. Number two for me, I'm sorry. Yeah, number two is seeing Ottertooth in the visions that Claire has and the way that he's almost kind of haunting her and the way that he just kind of like appears when the lightning flashes and disappears when it's dark again. And like that whole thing, I really liked it because it is this kind of, pardon the pun, but like this kind of magical moment that harkens back to the magic of Outlander. You know, the whole idea of Outlander is that a woman travels through stones. There's this surreal thing happening. And in this world, surreal stuff should be happening to Claire because of that. She's part of this existence now that has kind of like enlightened her in many instances. And I like the fact that the show goes back to that a little bit. And I wish it had done more of that. I wish the show had shown more of Ottertooth, you know, just kind of there with Claire, just kind of just like haunting her. Even, in random spaces where she's walking and she turns around and she just happens to see him standing there. Like, it would have been a great payoff at the end of the season where you finally understand who he is, what he was doing, and why he was doing what he was doing.
Probably would have thought I was a bear.
Yeah, and that would have been even better. Okay. That would have been even better because you, like, as a viewer, you wouldn't be quite sure. You know, like, I remember in The Leftovers, there were these moments, and spoiler alert, where you would see Patty. And you'd be like, wait, what? And you weren't really 100% sure that was Patty when, you know, she was engaging with Kevin. So I really like that idea. Or you remember in Lost, remember the guy Dave that was haunting Hurley on the island?
Yeah.
The bald Dave? Same thing. Like, it would have been really cool to see that. But
agreed.
Again, and it was another thing that brought Outlander back to its roots. It brought us back to the magical, you know, mystery of what Outlander can be, and the mystery and the sci-fi elements that the show really should embrace. And I loved that portion of season four. All right, before we get into the number one thing that would just drive you bonkers,
numero uno,
Claire in season four, I do want to remind you that, like in most years, we have been nominated. We have been nominated for Best TV in Film Podcast in the Podcast Awards.
Thank you.
And we've also been nominated in the People's Choice category as well. So you know what that means? If you were to take this and translate it to like the movies or the television awards, it'd be like the Emmys, but for podcasts. And not only were we nominated for like what would be considered like best sci-fi or whatever in for the Academy Award, we were also nominated essentially for Best Picture. We were nominated for Best Podcast out of the whole entire world of podcasting.
But we haven't won it yet, guys.
We have not yet won. This is our third year in a row for being nominated for both TV and film and the People's Choice Award. And I really want to win this year. And it really depends on you guys. It depends on voting. And it depends on some other stuff too, which, you know, again, stats for nerds. You don't need to get into all of it. But a large portion of it is dependent upon your vote. So please, please go out and I will have the link for you to vote on our show notes. Just go to outlandercast.com and you'll see the episode here for it. Or if you're on Patreon, you'll see it on Patreon as well. Just click that link and it will ask you your name and your email, and it'll ask for your vote. And you just have to confirm your email. So click on that link, confirm your email, and vote for us in the TV and film category as well as the People's Choice category. And let's get Outlander the win. You know, I mean, let's get the win for Mary and I, but let's really get Outlander the win.
I want more people who do not know about Outlander to be scrolling these podcast awards and be like, Outlander cast? What is this Outlander? And then they fall in love with this couple too. And
right.
They just fall in love with the show and the music and the costumes and goodness gracious.
You know, and like, listen, we lost last year the People's Choice Award to the Fantasy Footballers. By the way, I am a subscriber of theirs. I really enjoy their show. I understand why we lost them because they're excellent. And if you ever get a chance, if you like fantasy football, go listen to them. They're incredible. But we lost the TV and film category last year to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. And I'm like, what are we doing? How do we lose to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast? How does that even happen?
It's not going to happen this year, man.
I bet it not happen. So we're counting on you guys to go ahead and vote for us. The voting for the podcast awards and the two categories that we are nominated in, it ends on July 31st. So you have time. You have plenty of time to vote for us. But please do go get your vote in before January 31st. Are you ready to get into the number one thing, Mary?
You bet.
Your number one thing. The number one thing that you loved from Claire in season four of Outlander. What do you got?
When Bree talks with Claire, this is so Debbie Downer, guys, and this is why I had to be so lighthearted. When Bree tells Claire that she was raped.
Okay.
And
yes.
Claire's reaction to this. Now, mind you, like the reunion with Bree, flippin' phenomenal. Gosh, the amount of heart emojis that I wish I could just fly at that piece on screen would blow you away. But this moment, I remember it took my breath away.
Mm-hmm.
Katrina Balfe's performance in this particular scene, you know, her reaction of shock and horror and love and heartbreak all at the same time and being there for Bree. it was just a really beautiful moment for Claire. And as I said, another favorite moment of mine, of course, is how Claire has tried to be kind of this motherly figure for Marceline, has mm-hmm. really had this amazing relationship that while you're watching it, you're wishing could be with Bree. And now here she is, one of the first, you know, experiences she has back with her daughter is hearing this absolutely horrible event happen to her, and Claire's reaction of being there and having Bree's trust was honestly, it took my breath away. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because it isn't like, yay, this is such a happy thing. Like this, tubby time is not number one. It was this. It was Claire as a compassionate mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Claire as a mother is a great facet of Outlander that we saw in season 3 and then we kind of got away from in season 4 a little bit, but then we got back to it.
Yeah.
And seeing her operate as that kind of figure for Bree is really special because there is this great relationship between the two. And especially in light of what happens with Frank and knowing how Bree really cared for Frank, and then she can transfer that care or discover an entirely new relationship with Claire as a result of that, and the kind of respect that she has for her mother because of all the travails that she's gone through. That it's a special relationship, mm-hmm. and I like seeing it. For me, my number one moment with Claire is absolutely, without a doubt, and there's not even a question about it, in my opinion, is Claire swallowing the rings in the first episode of season 4. That move and that entire scene was a spectacular scene on so many levels. I know that some people didn't like the whole America the Beautiful thing. I get it. I thought it was a bold choice that Outlander took. I thought it was a bold choice that paid off. Mm-hmm. I thought it had a good commentary on what it was trying to say, and it set up the rest of the season to tell you the kind of story that it's going to tell. Mm-hmm. It's also set up the kind of antagonist that we're going to be having. And it shows you the levels and the extent to which Claire will go to protect her family, protect the things that she cares about. And it shows you that she is ready to take on the world that she's finding herself in the mm-hmm. Americas. It's not a safe place. It's not a fun place. It's great that we have this moment where she looks out on the ridge and sees, oh, you know, this is America, and this is a place where hundreds of millions of people are going to come and be and live their lives and the American dream. But in the meantime, we still have to deal with the fact that we're still settling the American dream. The America that Claire is in today is not in the America that she was in with Frank. And yep. It reminds us all of that. And Claire swallowing those rings is a great visual representation of that.
Agreed.
And, you know, whether or not, you know, you can argue whether or not they built up or they cashed in or built on that moment for the rest of season 4, showing you how dangerous the world that Claire is in really is. I think that's a good conversation to have, you know, because with any first episode or any opening, you know, it's the responsibility of the writers and the directors to show you what you're going to be getting a taste of. Mm-hmm. It's to show you this is what's coming and get prepared for it. It's their chance to give you the world that you're entering. And I thought they did a great job giving us that world and setting that tone. Whether or not they capitalized on that, I think is a fair question. Do you think that they capitalized on that well, or do you think that they left a little bit to be desired?
I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I'd love to actually hear your guys' thoughts on this, the listeners. I'd love for you to write in.
But I agree that was a beautiful, riveting moment. Seeing it the way we got to see it in New York Comic Con with an entire theater full of people,
so cool.
All of us gasping together. I think that's why I love that moment even more.
That was so cool. All right, Marvin, I think that's it. That's all we got. Those are our top five favorite Claire moments from season four.
Do you guys have all the Claire feels right now? You know what we would love? If you can head on over to our Facebook page, and when you see this post about this episode, can you let us know what your favorite Claire moment was? Maybe you have three or five favorite Claire moments, but can you let us know your favorite?
Absolutely. That'd be fantastic. Let us know either on our Facebook page. You can do it on OutlanderCast or Mary and Blake, or you can do it right at the OutlanderCast Clan Gathering and let us know what you think there. And that's all I got, kiddo. That's the end. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let me find my button. Oh, there it is. Here we go.
So remember, even though it's Droughtlander, we're going to be coming strong, filling up your earbuds. And this is a great time to head on over to OutlanderCast.com and check out the OutlanderCast blog, which, of course, is pumping out content consistently. If you would like, for example, to check out the newest ongoing feature, it's Sassenach Spotlight, where we have a new blogger on board, Lindley Key, who's going to be interviewing different members of the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering who really have different passions and interests in Outlander. So if you haven't yet been over to OutlanderCast.com, clicked on the blog tab, I highly recommend you do it. It'll make your Monday mornings much less miserable as you're wishing that you got to spend more time with our beloved Jamie and Claire. Head on over there. Let us know your thoughts.
And also, you know, while you're spending some time with Jamie and Claire, you can spend more time with your other favorite couple on this planet. That is, of course, Mary and Blake. I mean, obviously. Let's just be honest.
I mean, now that they've been able to picture me in the fetal position crying in the rain.
Or naked walking in your house, answering the door.
Goodness gracious.
That's my girl. You can go to maryandblake.com and check us out there with all of our podcasts, including This Is Us 2, our brand new Rise Up podcast dedicated to Hamilton, The North Remembers, which is dedicated to Game of Thrones. You can even check us out for the Leftovers podcast. You've been Gilmored, about Gilmore Girls, or even Minute with Mary, the podcast. It's all there right at maryandblake.com. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can just look us up on Facebook or Twitter and just simply search Mary and Blake. We are there. We are there ready to talk and chat and have fun with you about not only Droughtlander, but all the things that we are covering during Droughtlander. We are here for your entertainment.
That's right. Well, for now, my name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.